God blesses us to be a blessing with others. Keep listening to God during the day, those nudges that come from the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like, you know, how do you start your day? Simple, just begin your day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Start with his word and then abide with Jesus. And that simple prayer of, God, who do you want me to bless today? And watch what God will do during the day. Just say, God, I'm available. Just like Rose says, not our abilities, but our availability. I'm available, God, who do you want me to bless today? And we are celebrating together the amazing thing God's doing, and he gets the glory. We're journeying together as well. Today we wrap up the book of Exodus in this series, Exodus chapter 8. If you brought a Bible, you can open it up right now, find it on your phone. If you ever need a copy of God's word, let us know. Our desire is everyone has their own copy of scripture, not only for our gathering time together, but also during the week. You are in God's word, and God's word is in you. It's living and active. It's a nourishment we need for our souls, and it's our joy. And all over this room today, and then all during the week, we're coming together around God's word. Exodus chapter 8, and this message is stop saying tomorrow. Stop saying tomorrow. Turn to the person next to you and look at him and say, stop saying tomorrow. And then look at the other direction and tell the other person, stop saying tomorrow. Stop saying tomorrow. That's it. Exodus chapter 8. And I'm wearing a t-shirt today. Can you read what it says? Yeah, that's right. Say it loud in the front row again so everyone can hear it.
Yes.
Choose hope. That's right. We have Hope Sunday coming up May 5th. Hope Sunday, May 5th. What is it called?
Hope Sunday.
What's the date?
May
5th. May 5th. That's right. Just choose hope does not mean that we're trying to be in denial or minimize our suffering. In no way. Just choose hope acknowledges that we worship the God of hope, and that he brings a hope that's greater than our challenges. And together we wanna receive God's hope. We wanna give God's hope. And as we do this, it's gonna be 28 days of hope, starting May 5th. May 5th is the most important day. It's that day where we gather the whole family. You know there's times where you gather the whole family? We wanna gather the family of grace, come together, just choose hope, and it's 28 days of hope. There have been months of prayers from the elders, the staff, planning, preparation, and May 5th is the kickoff with Just Choose Hope. There's gonna be a lot of different things happening, but I believe this is gonna be a time that really unites our church more than ever before. We're gonna be doing this together. Every age, every group, from the children in the classes that are bringing things home with families to our young at heart, our senior group, that's committed to pray every day during the 28 days. Like, we're all participating. There's gonna be 28 devotions. There's gonna be 28 videos. There's gonna be a lot happening. But for right now, what you need to do is pray and start to encourage other people. We have so many that come to grace once in a while. We wanna encourage them to come together as family. What's it called again?
Just
Choose Hope. And what day are we kicking it off?
May
5th. May 5th. And what do we call that day?
Hope
Sunday. Y'all, A game today. You're all on point. You're ready for this. And most of all, God's prepared us that we're ready for this. And you say, well, that's not gonna start for 2 weeks. It starts today in our hearts, in the vision God's bringing. It starts today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this time coming up, 28 days of hope, to you. We commit our lives, our families, our church, God, this city, and what you wanna do. You're the God of hope. You never run out of hope. And God, we wanna receive today afresh, overflowing. And Father, we thank you for everything you're gonna do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As you read through the Bible, it's a time to be learning. We wanna be lifelong learners. We're all learning and growing. And when you read through scripture, you learn what to do, and you also learn what not to do. How many of you know that through life, what not to do has sometimes taught you even more than what to do? You've seen some things in your life and you've thought, I'm not gonna be like that. I'm not gonna repeat that. That's not gonna happen in this generation. That's not gonna happen to me. I'm going a different direction. I'm going with God. Pharaoh stands out today as he's gonna teach us what not to do. Now, we can sum up procrastination in one word. That one word is tomorrow. If you wanted to take the whole idea of procrastination and put it into one word, it would be the word tomorrow. Stop saying tomorrow. If we formed a list of why we say tomorrow, sometimes it's because we're lazy. Sometimes it's because we're fearful. Sometimes it's because we're stubborn. Sometimes we just want to do it on my way and my terms, not God's timing and God's terms. There's a lot of reasons how we reach that point tomorrow. But God's saying today, and we need to shift from tomorrow to today. What are some examples, if we had a list of top 12 examples of some tomorrows? I said I would, but let me make it tomorrow. We could include working out, getting some exercise. We could include reading the Bible daily. A lot of times we say, I know that would be great. I'm gonna start that tomorrow. I'm gonna begin eating healthy tomorrow. That's it. I'm gonna go so deep in prayer tomorrow. That's when it's gonna start. I'm gonna decide to follow Jesus with all my heart. That's tomorrow. Baptized in water tomorrow. Use my gifts, serve my church family. Yeah, probably tomorrow would be a good day to do that. Share my faith tomorrow, not today. Complete that project at home or at work. That's tomorrow. Invite someone to church that God has placed in your life tomorrow. That's it. Form a budget. Live within the budget, within our means tomorrow. Keep my word. I'll do that tomorrow and receive God's hope tomorrow. That might be more than 12. I lost count on that. But can we stop saying tomorrow and say yes to God today? Pharaoh keeps saying tomorrow. And let's look at how this plays out for Pharaoh. And we want to learn and make some shifts in our lives. Chapter 8 in Exodus, starting in verse 1, 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and your kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you and your people and all of your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up off the land. The first truth today is that God makes clear conditional statements. They're designed to guide us to personal growth and faithfulness. Throughout the Bible, if you go from 66 books, beginning to the end, you're gonna notice there's a flurry of God's conditional statements. If, then, they're significant. Now, God has given the if, then to Pharaoh several times already, let my people go. And here, as we start this chapter, we read 7 days passed. Has God ever told you something? You've had 7 days to think about it, ponder in your heart. You've had 7 days to choose to walk by faith. And after 7 days, no, you've got a hard heart. That's what Pharaoh does. 7 days later, he's still saying no to God, and God lays this out. If you refuse to let my people go, then frogs. You choose, let my people go or frogs. And Pharaoh is gonna choose frogs. How many people in this room would like frogs everywhere in your house? It looks like an easy, clear decision, right? Let the people go, end the slavery. Slavery's wrong, it's sinful. Or the frogs. Pharaoh, you decide. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of if-then conditional statements, and they're very inviting. There's opportunities. A lot of them are inspiring. I wanna share a couple with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's read this together, it's so significant. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Would you agree that our land needs healing? So much healing. Isn't it great that God gives us a clear condition here? What do we do if we want healing? Well, we'll humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our sin. As we do that, God will bring healing on the land. It's an opportunity for us to say yes to God. The healing we desire, there's something we can do together. God lays it out clearly in his word. Here's another if-then conditional statement. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I had someone reach out to me yesterday and say, is it too late? Have I sinned too much? Have I hardened my heart too much? Would God welcome me back? And I said, God never despises someone who's contrite in heart. You can come home. They just didn't know if they've done too much, and now God's finished with them. What does the promise say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He forgives, he purifies. He can purify. Do we need purity in our nation today? We sure do. We return to the Lord, confess our sins. Repentance brings refreshment. We want to come home. That's what God lays out. Here's another incredible conditional statement. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. You know those 25 decisions you've got coming up in this week? Those 25 relational, financial, spiritual decisions you've got coming up this week? Wouldn't it be nice to have a lot of wisdom in those 25 decisions? Well, all the wisdom from heaven is available for anyone who humbly asks and receives believing God. If you want God's wisdom, he will download in our small minds, he will download the wisdom of heaven in the mind of Christ for anyone who asks. It might be a good idea to ask for wisdom this week, huh? Instead of just running ahead into the next decision. These are the conditional statements that God makes. And then there's the principles of the conditional. It has a little different angle. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John. He replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Here's what Jesus lays out with the condition. If you love me, you will obey me. Now, we take God's conditions and we say, no, I prefer something different. Jesus doesn't say, if you love me, you'll be the most emotional person with lots of tears. Don't find that in Scripture. He doesn't say, if you love me, then you'll be the most knowledgeable. Doesn't say that. Knowledge is good. Loving God with all of our heart is good. He doesn't say, if you love me, you will raise your hands higher than everyone else in worship. How high you raise your hands is how much you love me. You can't find that verse in the Bible. So sometimes we get locked into, oh, if we love Jesus, it's all about how much knowledge I have or how high my hands are. It's like, that's not what he says. He says, if you love me, then you'll obey. And if someone's not obeying, well, then that reveals where their heart is. Again, God's conditional statements, if you take a deep dive, and I encourage you this week, look at these conditional statements throughout the Bible, and there's first, second, third class conditions. It's based on yes, no, probably. It's complex, but God communicates to us, and part of it is with conditions. And he says to Pharaoh very clearly, let my people go or else the frogs. Pharaoh tries to ignore the obvious. Like, I don't want to let them go, and I don't want the frogs. That's not an option. That's not an option. You can't deny reality. We try to ignore and deny reality. The reality is that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he's risen. The reality is there's no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. The reality is he's going to return. The reality is we are not going to live 500 years. This life is short in this body and in this flesh. The reality is we're accountable to God. The reality is his word endures forever. It is always true. Heaven and hell are real. Wait till marriage until you sleep with someone. Forgive everyone fully. There are so many realities and so much truth for us from God because he's our good shepherd. And what's interesting sometimes in the body of Christ is we're drifting off into this, Well, I want this special revelation that nobody else knows about, something very obscure. And it's like we're on this search for this obscure, special revelation. What is it? We want to listen to God's word, listen to God's spirit. But would you agree that God has already given us so much revelation? Wouldn't it be good if we started to do his word? I mean, those statements I shared, if we were doers of the word, what would the churches look like across America today? If we weren't focused on some obscure, speculative, conspiracy theory revelation, what if we just had scripture in the power of the spirit, abide with Jesus, live it out, doers of the word? I think he's given us a lot to do right here. Let's start. Let's start now, not tomorrow. Here's the irony and the comedy. There's a lot of comedy in scripture, but one, and maybe I just have that sense of humor, but I'll tell you, they've got frogs everywhere. They call in the Egyptian magicians. We covered this last week. There is some dark power in sorcery. There's some evil power. It's a lesser power, but they bring in the Egyptian magicians, and what are they gonna do? They're gonna try to match this by finding more frogs for the people, and they bring in more frogs. Have you ever gone through something that felt like a plague? What's the closest version of a biblical plague that you've experienced? I think for me, growing up in Minnesota, it's probably the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes everywhere in the summertime, and they're big, and they bite, and they suck blood, and they're the state bird, and they're, you know, all kinds of things. And I look around in Minnesota, and I just think the last thing we need up in here is more mosquitoes. We don't want another mosquito. And with frogs everywhere, what are they gonna do? They're gonna raise up more frogs coming into our homes, coming into our lives. Please, no more. And what Pharaoh does is the same thing that's happening in our culture. Pharaoh sees this and he thinks it's all about my truth. Pharaoh, it's not about your truth, it's about the truth. Pharaoh thinks he's the center of everything, and whatever he says goes. He has the final say. And God is very clear. Pharaoh, even though you rank above all people in terms of a military and authority and position, there's no one more powerful than you on the earth. Pharaoh, you are not above God. And none of us are above God. We can't take God off the throne and put ourselves on the throne in our opinions and say, God, your word isn't true, my word is. Pharaoh, you've got two choices. You love the Lord, honor God, let the people go to slavery, or the frogs are coming. Well, Pharaoh, I don't feel like it. A lot of people are like, I don't feel like it. We don't follow feelings. Feelings don't have the final say. We follow Jesus. You can glorify God with joy. You can serve people. You can see healing, restoration, joy, and glorify God. Or Pharaoh is still gonna, God's glory is gonna be displayed, but it's through rebellion. And when someone rises up in pride and says, I'm above God, God will still prevail. And you will see God's mighty power as he opposes Pharaoh, and through these plagues, you'll see his justice, his wrath, his sovereignty. God's gonna be glorified whether Pharaoh goes against God or whether Pharaoh bends the knee. But God takes no pleasure in the death of a wicked. God takes no pleasure in someone's death. And these warnings are an opportunity for Pharaoh to repent. Now, let's think about frogs for a minute. I've got a picture of a frog. Yeah. There we go. Let's just call that frog Fred, all right? That's Fred. Let's make a frog noise. A little participation today. Let's do ribbit, ribbit, okay? So on the count of three, make your best frog noise. Make it a few times. Go ahead, one, two, three. Ribbit, 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 ribbit. Okay, a little noisier than nine. I like this, I like this. So that noise is everywhere in Egypt. How many of you have ever walked past a pond, a lake, a marsh where you've heard all the frogs? Would you agree they're a lot noisier than we are? I know it's church, so we do kind of a polite ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Frogs aren't polite. I'll tell you, I was walking by, this is on up by the Bellevue area. I was walking by, I was like, what is that noise? As I got closer, it was frogs. It was deafening, like the noise was piercing. Can you imagine just listening to that noise constantly, 24/7? Those frogs everywhere? And then where will the frogs be? Notice how God lays it out. Pharaoh's probably thinking, well, they're not gonna come in my palace because I have guards and doors and locks. The frogs will be down with the people. No, God says, these frogs are coming in your palace, Pharaoh. They're coming in your officials' places too. These frogs are gonna be everywhere. They're gonna be in your bathtub. They're gonna be in your bedroom. They're gonna be in your sheets. You're gonna have frogs everywhere. That nice robe that you have, Pharaoh, when you put your hand in that pocket, you're gonna feel a bunch of frogs. These frogs are everywhere and they're sticking around. And not only are they noisy, not only are they everywhere and pervasive, but how many of you know that frogs are slimy? Yeah. Frogs are slimy because they breathe out of their skin. And on top of a frog is a layer of mucus. And that mucus on top of the frogs and now rubbing up against your clothes, your bed, your sheets. How can you have any peace? How can you eat any food when you got frog mucus all over the food? Like, this is affecting everything, and it was all unnecessary. The Egyptians worshiped frogs. The archaeologists that have done their research say there's so much evidence. And as the Egyptians not only worshiped frogs, they had goddesses, and these goddesses, one of them named Hekt, included the body images of frogs on the head, all over, frogs everywhere. Frogs were seen as sacred. You can't kill the frogs. Now, if some of you were in the middle of this plague, you'd be killing some frogs, wouldn't you? You would just start to clear out your bedroom with killing some frogs. They, because of the idolatry of the frogs, they can't and won't kill the frogs. So now these frogs, they're not going anywhere. Idolatry leads to death. And idolatry, when you have an idol, that thing will start to make you crazy. That thing will start to steal your peace. That thing will take you right out of your right mind. Whatever your idolatry is, God is first. When you replace God with money, a job, a person, your looks, success, popularity, whatever you put up there, that's gonna be a cruel God. And the more you bend your knee and serve that God, you're gonna see how worthless that worship is. And you need to remove the idolatry and worship the one and true God. Don't let idols drive you crazy. We know what God wants: freedom, joy, righteousness, peace in the Holy Spirit, kindness, worship God. Pharaoh cannot change the conditional statement from God. None of us can change the scripture. We could form a committee and say, this is what we're gonna do. In fact, that's happening in our country. They get religious scholars together and they get a big name. And they come out and they say, well, this part of the Bible isn't true, and this part isn't true. It's the same thing with Pharaoh. I'm not gonna believe this. I don't think frogs are gonna come. I'm the most powerful. We can't change it, but we can choose how we respond. And one thing will fix everything: worship. If Pharaoh bends the knee and worship God, the frogs are gone. If Pharaoh lets the people go to worship God, then the frogs are gone. In our lives, don't underestimate worship. We are all designed to worship God. That is the purpose. We live in a way to enjoy God, worship Him forever. It's more than just songs. Start to worship God, watch God heal and bless and move and restore. Worship is the option here. Pharaoh doesn't want it. So let's take a look at verse 8 and how this plays out. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and then I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. What just happened? It looked like Pharaoh is starting to soften the heart. He said, Moses and Aaron, please pray for these frogs to be removed. And then Moses says, you decide, when do you want me to pray? Do you want me to pray right now and get rid of the frogs? What does Pharaoh say? Verse 10, Pharaoh said, tomorrow. We'll stick with the frogs for another day. Pharaoh is torn between bending a knee and acknowledging that God's in control and he needs God, and I'm still gonna call the shots, and I'm not ready yet. And in between those two spaces, he's gonna say tomorrow. When, Pharaoh? After the first plague, tomorrow. After the second plague, tomorrow. After the third plague, tomorrow. After the 10th plague, tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. That's what he keeps saying. And then as he says tomorrow, we read in verse 10, Moses replied, it'll be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you in your houses, your officials and your people, and they will remain only in the Nile. Here's the truth. When you know what God wants, do it now. When you know what God wants, do it now. I remember my very first role as a volunteer intern in a church and my very first mentor, Jeff Johnson. And he said to me something right away that stuck with me all these years. He said, Jesse, when you start to serve at church, and he was coaching me, and I was just writing down everything he's saying. When you start to serve at church, Jesse, this is what you need to know. As long as God wants you to serve at church, that there's always gonna be 100 things people want you to do, and they're well-intentioned, but there's just always 100 needs, always 100 requests, and Jesse, they're gonna come with a lot of expectations. So this is what you need to do. Know what God has called you to do so you know which things have your name on it and which things you say no. If you don't set those limits and you don't have that clarity, you're gonna be chasing everyone's request, totally worn out. So you need to know what God is actually calling you to do, and then when he calls you to do it right away. Because he's gonna reveal it, say, do it today, but then you're gonna get all these emails and you know, you're gonna get all these people coming at you and say, do this, do this, do this. And when God calls you, don't say to God, well, I'll do that tomorrow because I wanna do all these things today. And that advice from the very beginning of ministry has blessed me all these years. I'm not saying I've always done it just right or perfect. I've learned from that. But I'll tell you, it's really important in life for you. You don't have to be working at a church to know what has God called you to do and what is he telling you to do today. And to have that faith and courage to say yes to the Lord as he has that call in your life. Now, this should have happened a long time ago, but with Pharaoh, it's gonna keep going and going and going. Every time he says tomorrow, there's gonna be more unnecessary headache and heartache. Whenever you give God the Heisman and just push him out of the way and say tomorrow, there's unnecessary heartache and headache. And again, Pharaoh's gonna think my time, my terms, and God's saying, no, do the next right thing. We don't need 10 rounds of plagues. We can let go and give things to God. Pharaoh doesn't want to acknowledge that his life and all he has belongs to God. But when we do that, that's worship. When we try to squeeze tight and hold on to what belongs to God, it'll always lead to stress and worry, unnecessary burdens. If you're someone that's just feeling like there's an 800-pound gorilla on your back, it might be that you need to give some things to the Lord. And it could be your finances. It could be your spouse relationship. It could be your children. It could be your job. It could be someone who's treated you wrong. It could be your money. It could be your very life. And when you offer that to the Lord in worship, there is a freedom and a joy that comes. And that's the worship that honors God. Now, as you think about that, Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Let God lead and guide. He's so much wiser than we are. And on this spectrum of tomorrow, there's a range from stubborn procrastination. Some of us have known what God said, and we just got our heels dug in. I'm not ready. I don't wanna. And then others have a teachable heart, but just keep getting distracted and going sideways and unintentional and distracted. And again, loving God, but it's just not moving forward and it's not changing. So I realize there's a range here. For Pharaoh, how's that working for you, Pharaoh, when you reject God's word? How is that working? And here's, as now we look back later historically and chronologically, one thing that catches our attention is that the Israelites have watched Pharaoh round after round after round say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow against God and his word. Now, not trusting God, now the Israelites, God's gonna be faithful and set them free from slavery. They're gonna go into the wilderness, and instead of trusting God and going into the promised land, they're going to repeat exactly in one sense what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh was stubborn, dug his heels in, and said, I'm not trusting God's word. And then the Israelites, after seeing that, seeing the miracles, the plague, seeing the Red Sea parted, are going to go into the wilderness. And do you know even Moses will die in the wilderness? A whole generation will spend 40 years in the wilderness. Only Caleb and Joshua will say, we believe God's word. Not only does he bring us out of slavery, but he has that abundance for us. Only two will trust God's word. And God is looking for people today in this land, in this city, who will trust him in both ways, what he saves us from and what he saves us for, and that we can both coming out of slavery and stepping into that abundance. That's the trust that we're talking about. Don't keep saying tomorrow. There's intercession here. The frogs will be removed. Prayer is powerful. But you know, you can't tell right away, is Pharaoh sincere? Is he contrite? Or does he just not like the frogs? And there's gonna be some people that you know that they lean in and be like, you know, I think, could you pray for me? I think it'd be better on a different way, a different path. I think I want something different. And some of them do that because they're sincerely contrite. They're ready to change. And others do it because they just don't like the circumstances. They just don't like the consequences. So they kind of give a token one. There's a big difference. Pharaoh still has a hard heart, but they pray for him. The frogs are removed. Here's what happens when the church across America doesn't trust God and keeps saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We end up with a status quo. We end up with a small vision. We end up thinking everything is one day, 1 hour. We end up moving very slow. We end up not looking that different than the people we live around. And all of that, it just keeps, every time we say tomorrow, it's like we're saying no to God's presence, no to his word, no to his power. And it just keeps retreating, retreating, retreating. And then it starts to fall apart because you can't really stand still. You're really starting to go backwards. All of those things, only a small percentage of the people in the church do the heavy lifting. The church only becomes a small percentage of what God's designed it to be. My heart in this is that we want to see churches in America vibrant right now. We want to see churches vibrant right now. And I think if we're honest, we've, in our church, I'm grateful for, maybe it's not as common here, but I think overall in America, we've kind of said to God, tomorrow we'll trust your word. Tomorrow we'll do your word. Tomorrow we'll believe your word. Tomorrow we'll be doers of the word. And we keep saying tomorrow, and then we see what happens in the land. And I believe it's a today decision and a right now word from God. We can't say tomorrow anymore. The more you reject God, the harder your heart will become. And this is how the passage closes, starting verse 12. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. He continues to harden his heart. He stays in the darkness instead of the light. Look what Jesus says in John chapter 12. Jesus says, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. In 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. Let's say those three words together. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In Egypt at the time, it was a polytheistic culture. They had over 80 false gods. Every false god is a lie. Every false god is deceptive and destructive. This is not coming from God. Satan is behind this kind of idolatry. There is one true God, and to not bring the truth about God is to deceive more people. One idea has so much power. If you believe the idea that there's 1,000 gods, that can be so damaging. If you believe that you can save yourself and earn a spot in heaven through your good works, that can be so damaging. If you're married to someone and you start to believe, I want to, you know, be finished with this person. There's somebody better. I'm going to go cheat on my spouse and go. That can be so damaging. If you see your kids and you don't see them as a gift, which they are from God, and you just see them as like totally frustrating and awful, and you start to say things like that to them, that can be so damaging. I'm just saying, one idea, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. We need a renewal of our mind if we're gonna start saying today. Pharaoh keeps saying tomorrow, and look at the results. Let's learn from this. I wanna springboard into a final application, and what I wanna say, thinking about Just Choose Hope and Hope Sunday coming up, we are gonna go very countercultural. Right now, our culture is drifting further and further away from God. We want more of God in our lives. Right now, our culture is rejecting Scripture more than ever before. We wanna dive deeper into Scripture and have Scripture in our minds and hearts. Right now, there's so much isolation in our culture. We want to open up our church. We want to open up our homes. We want to open up our hearts, and we want to come together and connect and love people and serve people. Right now, there's a narrative of hopelessness in our culture. We reject that. We don't want one more suicide. We don't want one more broken family just deciding on strife and division. We don't want any more addiction. We don't want more human trafficking. We don't want more of that stuff. We believe the God of hope, that God has hope today, that God heals and restores. We're going a different direction. The world right now is getting bolder about sin. We want to get bolder about Jesus. I'm telling you, there's more anxiety than ever before. We reject fear. We choose faith, and we're going to walk with Jesus and abide with him. There's people leaving the church. What's popular today is you bash the local church and you leave it and you kick it on the way out. But God's plan is he raises up healthy churches across the land. We want to connect. We want to serve. We want to live out our faith in the local church. And then God's hope goes beyond this building. I could keep going, but with Just Choose Hope, right now the world is going one way and we want to go the total opposite direction. So we're gonna come together, because unity is a key with this. We're gonna come together as a church family, all ages, ethnicities, personalities. Praise God for the diversity in this room. It looks like heaven, right? We celebrate that. We're gonna come together as one in the Lord. And we're gonna do that through a number of things. There's gonna be 28 written devotions. There's gonna be 28 videos. Every department's involved. Like, we're all gonna walk through this together. There's a lot coming up. It's gonna be fun too. Is anyone want one of these t-shirts? Do I see someone? Yeah, I saw your hand first right there. You got that. And then, oh, this is a ways, isn't it? Oh, I don't know if I got that to you. I don't know if I got that to you. We're going to have some fun. See, I had to go high because it just didn't work. Like, if I, like, throw a fastball that's low and it hits someone new here, and then they're coming out like, I just got smashed in the head by the pastor. Like, that's not going to fly. They're going to be like, that doesn't feel like Just Choose Hope. So where does this vision come from? Here's the key scriptures, Isaiah 40, 31, and this is one of those passages. There's two scriptures that really have stood out. You start with scripture. Those who hope in the Lord. Hope is a confident and joyful trust in someone or something. Every day we decide, where's my hope come from? Yep. Those who hope in the Lord. The Lord doesn't run out of hope. Our hope is only as strong as the one in whom we hope. If you put your hope in your money, your health, your brain power, you put your hope in another person, your hope is a politician, your hope's only gonna be that strong. It's not that strong. When you hope in the Lord, that's how strong your hope is gonna be. His presence promises. He will renew our strength. We need our strength renewed. Soar on wings like eagles. We wanna soar spiritually, run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. That's from the Old Testament. Here's from the New Testament, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope, God lets us know his name is the God of hope. That's one of his names. That's who he is. May he fill us. God doesn't want us running around on empty. God wants to fill us with joy, with peace, as we trust in him. The core of every relationship is trust. so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own power. We're gonna overflow with hope. Here's a diagram. It's simple, but this is the picture. The God of hope, who's our source, who's at the center of everything, in four areas: my heart, my home, our church, and our city. You might not have an equal passion for those four. Right now, you might start and it's more about your own heart. You're kind of dry. You're kind of feeling you've drifted. You need God's hope. You misplaced your hope. You're running out of hope. Might be right now you're feeling that one more. For some of you, you're feeling the home and the situations with your family right now. And you know the hope you need in your home. For some, you're feeling our church and you've served and prayed here for so many years and you're just so hungry and ready for God. And you can sense it, all the things God's doing right now. Like, it's just a powerful time. For some of you, it's our city. And you've lived in Auburn, the greater Auburn area, across the sound here, and you're thinking, I've been looking at the same tragedies and the same heartbreak, and I got concerns, and I want God to move in our city. God moves in four levels at the same time. And it's okay if you have one area of those four that's more passionate right now than the others, but God's gonna move in all four together. And we're gonna trust God together. We're gonna learn how to receive hope and give hope daily. We're gonna abide with Jesus, and God's gonna get the glory. You abide with Jesus, you bear much fruit. And we're not gonna say tomorrow. We're not gonna say maybe later. We're not gonna say everything's fine in Auburn and the land. Everything's fine, everything's great. And do a little fake spiritual smile on the outside when we know there's a whole different story on the inside. We're gonna let God in deep. And there are, as they not only break free out of slavery, but then across the wilderness, they're gonna go into the promised land. And as they go into the promised land, Joshua on the verge of the Jordan River, God says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for I'm about to do something amazing. Consecrate means get your heart ready, prepare your heart, set apart, make room in your life for God. Get ready, because I'm about to part this Jordan. There's some abundance and some blessings coming. Joshua, listen, have the people consecrate themselves, because I'm about to do something amazing right now. And you say, well, the message says stop saying tomorrow, and you said this is 2 weeks away, May 5th. It starts today, and it starts right here today. Prepare the way for the Lord in what he wants to do. This, our church family, has been together over 70 years. We are so thankful. You don't know how many decades of people have prayed, have served, have given, have been faithful for decades. And this is our opportunity. When you think about the legacy, we are in a building right now that most of us didn't pray for, didn't give to. We are receiving the blessings. We're so appreciative of the history of our church. And about 25 years ago, there was a prayerful decision made that to reach Auburn and to bless our families and our walk with God, this was built. About 25 years ago, and now we gladly come together here, debt free, praise the Lord, and we worship God in this building, and it's a symbol of the faithfulness. There was a generation that listened and sacrificed and went for it and took the plunge, and we have the blessings. I'm telling you, this is a time right now that's significant in the history of grace. In my 8.5 years here, I believe May 5th is one of those standout Sundays, and I can't think of a Sunday more important. When I think about Hope Sunday and what's sitting here in terms of potential, I believe that right now this is a legacy moment where we can't say tomorrow. It's 2024, and we walk together by faith. And the legacy right now, it's not so much a physical building, although we want to keep improving things to bolster the ministry. I believe it is a work of the Spirit. I believe it is a work of the gospel. I believe it's a work of the Holy Spirit and God's word, filling our hearts, filling our homes, filling this city, and then going on beyond. And I believe it for such a time as this, when things seem to be going that way, but God steps in, and those who are listening have ears to hear and say, we're gonna choose hope, and we're gonna abide with the God of hope right now, right here, for such a time as this. That's where God's leading us. It's hard to wait for 2 weeks, I'll tell you. But I'm gonna try to just be patient, wait on the Lord, and let's do this together. You can pray, prepare your heart, and just gather the family of grace. We wanna come together as a family and Hope Sunday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together, and thank you for your goodness to us. God, may we listen to your Spirit, just like this blessed story today. It was one bus stop, and trying to say no. Tomorrow I'll pray with someone. Tomorrow I'll talk with someone. Tomorrow, God. But you are unrelenting, and you continue, God, to nudge us. And sometimes we're stubborn and we just keep saying tomorrow, but we want to worship today. We want to trust you today. We want to live for you today. We want your healing in our homes. God, we pray for the churches across the sound. God, we pray for our hearts in what you're doing, how you're stirring now. God, we commit this to you. Pray we'd walk in unity with you and one another in Jesus' name. Before we go, there's behind me, you might say, oh, five words, what's that? Behind me, these five words, when you think about follow, you think about baptism, this is what people are doing every week right now. It's an incredible time at Grace, and people are deciding to follow Jesus more this year than we've ever seen in 8.5 years. Baptisms, people saying, this is my church family. Text the word group to get in a Bible study, life group where you can read the word, serve and use your gifts. You just text that. We have an incredible team. We'll walk with you, show you that next step. And we're going to close, you know, a benediction. You see it in Scripture. And then benediction, we declare blessings. And I'm going to put Romans 15:13. Actually, the team is. Can we give it up to the tech team? They're just always on the spot. So we're going to bless each other. We're going to stand up right now. And we're going to close with declaring this, Romans 15:13. And this is the declaration and the benediction together. Let's declare it with faith in unity. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have our prayer team over here to my right. Make your way over. We're honored to pray with you. Have a great week. Just choose hope.